Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. That's right, we're out here trying to make people savvy about their relationships. And guess what? In today's episode, Kim is going to be helping us understand the initial step people need to take in order to move out of feeling stuck and exhausted in our relationships. She points out that people are wired to take advantage of each other. And in order to move in a forward direction and get unstuck, we all need to mentally wake up early and wake up often to take action. Coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and or mental illness. Hey, Kim, welcome back to the show. We know that you and John are still on the road. So where are you right now?
We're in Kentucky on our way back to Dallas. Yes.
You're on your way back to Dallas. Now, I've been wondering this for years. Is there a place, a specific city that KFC originated?
Yes, there is. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to like Google it.
You're going to Google it right now?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, it's an honor in Kentucky. They have an award or something here for being a Kentucky colonel. And
like a colonel, like in the military?
No, like an honorary thing. You have to be mentioned by the governor or something like that to be a Kentucky colonel. And
wow.
Yeah. And so I'm like, is Kentucky Fried, was he a colonel in the army or was he, is this related in any way? I don't know, but the chicken's good.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they're extra crispy. I mean, their original's good, but like they're extra crispy. Mm-mm-mm. With some biscuits, with like a little bit of hot sauce, but that's just me. No, I love Kentucky. I've been to Louisville a few times. So pretty, especially during the fall. So what I wanted to talk about today was bring to the table this idea of people feeling stuck, tired, exhausted, feeling like they're not moving forward in the relationship.
I am curious, like they're coming in with this perspective of, I don't know if I can get unstuck. There's something about our relationship that's tiring. I don't see a way out. I don't really know how to move forward. So I'm curious, like what would you, or how would you approach getting a couple in that is tired of the routine and tired of the routine being fairly like static, unchanging. The relationship is not doing well.
I do remember that we talked about this early on when we started the podcast, because we see that so much. And I'm thinking about, in particular, clients that I'm working with right now where, and we see it all the time, where they talk about the love just not being there anymore and feeling stuck in that place of, I don't want to be married, but I don't necessarily know that I want a divorce. And not really sure what to do at that point. And, you know, it's, we've talked about how love is an action, not a feeling. And if you act your way there, the feelings come and go. But what do you do when the feelings just don't seem to be coming? There's one thing that I've tried to explain to people. When you are feeling about your spouse, like you care about them, you love them, but you're not in love with them kind of feeling. You care about them, but you don't have romantic feelings or desire for them. That can be a really tough place to navigate. And I think that it's easy to lose hope when you're in that space because, I mean, you don't want to be just roommates and you don't want to be married to your brother, you know, somebody that you care about like a friend, but that's really the extent of it. And so that's a long, hard road for some people. And one of the things that I think is a good thing to ask yourself is, do you want to want them?
Okay.
Do you want to want your spouse? Because sometimes you get to the point where you really don't.
Yeah.
You know, you're just so, like you said, exhausted. The client that I'm thinking of, she said it's taken her 10 years to get to the point where she was in the place where she felt like she could ask for a divorce and end the marriage. Well, it took her 10 years to get there. And so now she's seeing change. Her husband didn't know that she was feeling that way for 10 years. She never brought it up to him. And when she did, he wanted to make some changes. And so I think she likes the changes she's seen, but she says, my feelings haven't caught up. So what do I do with that?
That is a hard ask for oneself. You know, like mm-hmm. you've been working on getting to a spot for 10 years. I mean, that's a lot of time, effort, mental energy. You're coaxing yourself to some extent. You're rationalizing something, mm-hmm. maybe even irrationalizing something and not even knowing it. So like for you to do that and then to maybe expect yourself to just undo that, that's a really tough place to be.
It is. But it's also tough for the spouse because the spouse didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why, how do we get ourselves in those situations for so long? We've contributed to our own feelings of hopelessness and despair without really giving our spouse the chance to, and telling your spouse you want to go to marriage counseling is a great start, but that's not enough. And I'm talking about a serious wake-up call of, if something doesn't change, I don't know how much longer I want to be here. Kind of messaging.
Yeah.
It's time to turn. If you're feeling like this, you're stuck in your marriage or you're not happy in your marriage, it's time to get loud and raise.
Okay. So what do you, like, what do you mean by that? By get loud? I think a lot of people might interpret that a whole lot of different ways.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. I don't mean scream and yell. I mean, get obvious. Don't be okay. Subtle. Don't leave clues. Don't withdraw, but have a come to Jesus meeting of, look, we're in trouble. I don't know if you know this. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling like I want to feel in this relationship. I'm having feelings of contempt for you. I'm having feelings of, I feel like the feelings that I'm having for you are dying. And that scares me.
Wow. That's incredibly honest. It's a very brave thing to do.
Yeah, it is. But we don't do that. I don't know why we don't do that more frequently, more obviously. Because we think we don't want to rock the boat or hurt their feelings or get into a hard conversation we don't know how to manage, I think. And because we're scared.
Yeah, that's what I was going to point to, is that I think that if someone were to vocalize that and put that into the relationship, they don't know where it's going to go from there. And maybe that's pretty terrifying.
I can't tell you how many times somebody has come into my office. I cannot tell you how many times they come into my office and they say, I've been feeling this way for months or years. And the spouse says, I had no clue.
Yeah.
Or, I knew you were unhappy, but I didn't know how unhappy. Yeah. And that's, you know, somebody told me this once. If you're an employer and you hire people that work for you, no one should ever be surprised they're getting fired. No one should be surprised by that. It's not fair. So if someone is not performing on the job, right, you give evaluations, performance reviews. You put them on a performance improvement plan, a PIP.
That's right.
Right? I've had people that have worked for me over the years that I didn't think we're going to make it. And there was one in particular that I thought, I'm going to let this person go. And then I realized this would come as a surprise to them. And I realized that's my failing. I cannot fire someone and it be a surprise to them. And yet we do that with our spouses. We fire our spouse and it's a surprise.
Yeah. There wasn't a heads up of something that's going awry. Like something is wrong. There wasn't an evaluation.
A big heads up. Like, yeah. Put your partner on a PIP plan, a performance improvement plan. Like, and I'd say that tongue in cheek, but truly, it's something needs to change because I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it always one person's fault? Like if somebody's not satisfied with the relationship, I tend to hear a lot of comments or statements saying that, hey, this is not something that I've done. It's something that they've done to us.
It's rarely just one person's fault, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you're married to somebody who's selfish or lazy or cheats or doesn't have a strong relationship ethic, what I call a relationship ethic. But that doesn't mean that you've got the license to just misbehave or to call. I mean, it's your job as a partner to call it out. So if your partner is being selfish, is not paying attention, isn't given, you know, showing up in the relationship in the right way, it's your job to call that out.
And if you don't, that would be inadvertently participating in the negative cycle and in some of the mess that you're seeing in the relationship.
Yes, it is. You know, we've talked this too about relationships dying from 1,000 paper cuts over an event. You know, it's most relationships just bleed out slowly over time. And you've got to have your guard up and protect it and fight for it and fighting for yourself in that. So if your partner, if you're in a relationship with somebody, listen, we're wired to take advantage. And so there are going to be times when I'm not giving my best and there are going to be times my partner's not giving my best. And we're not talking about a season where you're going through something. Yeah. You know, we're talking about being characterized by this, underperforming as a partner.
Man, I'm going to take that. We're wired to take advantage. Like that's the truth. And that's like, that's an indictment, you know, like on us as people, because we are wired to take advantage. Mm-hmm. And so we not only got to be cautious about, you know, who we partner with, but then also what we have the capability of doing ourselves.
Yes. Especially ourselves, right? Because we're the only ones that we can really control.
That's right.
How do you know if you're the problem?
When I was younger, I think I understood myself to be the problem whenever somebody got mad at me. But as I've grown older, just because someone gets mad at me doesn't necessarily mean I'm doing something wrong. It just means that I have to slow down and ask what's going on.
But we can be so self-absorbed and not, I mean, that's kind of the irony of being selfish, is knowing it's hard to know when you're selfish. We're all capable of it, of being incredibly selfish in a relationship.
Yeah. And I'll say this, like I didn't mention this before, but what has helped was people pointing that out in me. Like they observed a pattern in me and said, hey, the way that you talk is blank, or how you're coming across is blank. Do you know that? And I'm like, no, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. Let me think about that. So, you know, bravo to them for being brave enough to tell me that. But then also, like, the more that I was able to receive somebody's feedback on how they're experiencing me, the more I'm able to understand when I'm selfish and I'm the problem.
Well, I love that you're willing to hear the feedback, because so many of us are not. If someone is offering, somebody told me once, if you want to be successful in anything, you need to surround yourself with people, the right kind of people. And you have to have a cheerleader. Everybody needs a cheerleader, but everybody also needs a truth teller. And the truth teller is the person who's going to get in your face. And I don't mean aggressive. I mean, honest. The truth teller is going to be the one that's going to show up the mirror, that loves you enough or has the guts to be able to say the really hard things that other people might be thinking, but no one's willing to risk it to tell you.
Yeah.
And so if you surround yourself with a bunch of cheerleaders and you don't get a truth teller in there, then you have nothing to check yourself, no guardrails. And I'd love when I get a truth teller in my life. They're hard to find. They're incredibly difficult to find, somebody who's brave enough to say, yeah, not so much, Kim. It's easy to find the cheerleaders. Oh, you're great. You're doing fine. Or screw that job. They didn't appreciate you. You know, I can't. Instead of, Well, you called in six days last month. What did you think would happen? You know, the truth teller, the person that is going to tell you, hey, maybe this is you. And so that's what I try to do in therapy. And I try to teach other therapists to do is to be the truth teller with love and compassion. You have to be a cheerleader as a therapist, but you also have to know when to put the pom-poms down and be the truth teller. And when you're working with couples, you need a truth teller.
Yeah. You know, like one of the biggest things that I realized, even just in interning at the Marriage Place, is that, you know, with marriage counseling and couples counseling, it kind of felt like the Wild Wild West. Like you didn't know what kind of couple was coming in or what kind of issues they were having. And you would see, I would see the fight right in front of me. And I'm like, my gosh.
You get baptized by fire when you're working with couples, especially when
absolutely. Absolutely. And let me tell you something. It got hot. All right. It got hot in that baptism.
I know. I feel bad for the new ones.
That's me, guys. I'm the new one. So as I was going through these moments and I realized, man, I don't know if they're going to come to this conclusion unless I reflect what they're saying in a very honest way. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you're telling them because you're wanting to help them. You're telling them the truth, but sometimes even in marriage therapy, you have to take sides and you take sides when one partner's behavior is really outlandish or bad. And so you say, not the best move there, you know, or, hey, you're in victim mode. Boy, they love to hear that. And so your delivery in that, I mean, listen, when I work with a couple, they know when I care about them. They know that I'm fighting for their marriage. And when I'm speaking the truth, I'm trying to do it with love and compassion and always with deep respect. But dadgum, I mean, speak the actual truth to these people because no one else may be doing it. And what I want to say to people is if you're the person that's not feeling love for your spouse and not feeling that connection, or you're starting to turn away, you don't get there overnight. You don't, like that woman said, 10 years of this, you don't go from I'm so in love with my spouse to I want a divorce overnight. If you do, you probably have a serious personality disorder. That's a whole nother conversation, but it's usually from many, many, many instances over a long period of time where you turned away. You turned away from your spouse. You chose to keep silent. You withdrew, you started having contemptuous thoughts and not sharing them. You started complaining. You started putting your energies, the same energies that you were putting into the marriage, you're putting somewhere else, a job, your kids, hobbies, friends, maybe an affair partner, maybe not, but you're putting that passion and energy that you had for this person into other things. And that develops over a period of time. And I'm saying, wake up early and wake up often and turn back towards your spouse and say, here's where I'm at. And it's scaring the hell out of me because I'm getting to where I don't even want to be in the same room with you. And that needs to scare you too. And if it doesn't, then we really do have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that like we had mentioned before about having people in our lives to be truth tellers, along with what you said, is that if we're feeling stuck in a place, maybe we do need to invite other couples or maybe even other friends into our lives to tell us the truth, to say, hey, can you evaluate me in my relationship and how I've been doing?
Well, that's hard to find. I mean, it's hard to find. It's hard to find and finding people who are willing to risk it because even in friendships, that's hard to find. A friend that loves you enough to tell you the hard things. If you've got one of those, hang on. They're gold. They're worth their weight in gold. But you can find a good therapist that will help you. It's easier to pay somebody to do it, I think, because that person, that's their job.
But that's one thing that I would say and encourage people to think about is that in order to feel or to even experience, you know, feeling like you're getting unstuck, just moving in that direction, like we need people in our lives to tell us what's going on, whether they're paid or unpaid.
That's absolutely true. But when it comes to your spouse, you need to be that person. You need to be the person who's willing to say, we're in trouble.
And if we don't, we're then taking on some of the responsibility of this relationship not being as fruitful as we want it to be.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people will give up and say, in my mind, we're divorced. Eventually, they'll get to the point where they're like, I'm done. I don't know yet when I'm actually officially done, but I'm done. And they may have an affair and justify it. They may just quit trying and pull back completely. And so, yes, like I said, you fired your spouse and your spouse doesn't know it.
Hmm.
Don't be that person. It shouldn't be a surprise.
Is there anything else that you'd recommend people to do to maybe approach the relationship differently? I mean, if they're feeling unstuck and exhausted, or stuck and exhausted.
Well, a lot of what I'm talking about is before you get there, right? It's like, as soon as you start noticing that you are pulling away from your partner, you need to step back in and toward and ring the alarm bell. If you're to the point where you're already exhausted and you've been doing this for a long time, I think it's important to, that's why we do this discernment work, which I think is so important, discernment counseling, which is trying to help you decide if divorce, if you're ready for divorce and what that looks like. And if you are feeling like you love your partner, but you're not in love with them, there's a very good chance that you can be in love with them again.
Hmm.
A very good chance. And I'd hate for anybody to end a relationship and dismantle a family without giving it every opportunity to find that out.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, you've got your part in that.
And I think people want to do that. Like, they don't want to have no hope.
Right.
Like, they didn't marry somebody to be defeated. They married somebody because they
wanted
envisioned some type of... Yeah, like, they envisioned some type of success. And honestly, if we don't pursue those opportunities to try and fix something about ourselves, so that we can fix the relationship, like, we're cutting off an opportunity to know ourselves even better and more.
Yes. There is something to the fact of that you have to know yourself, love yourself before you can know or love someone else. And there's some truth in that. And when we're not in a very successful relationship with someone else, we need to gut check that and see how much of that is us in that.
Well, all right, guys, that's our show for today. We want to thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and we will see you on the next episode. Y'all stay savvy. Peace.